Good evening, everyone. How are you guys doing tonight? Pretty good? Cool. Awesome. Well, my name's Danny, and we are focusing this year on what it means and what it looks like to abide in every moment. That in every moment of our lives, we would draw near to Jesus, not out of religious obligation, but because he is worth it. And in him, we discover life, light, and freedom. We discover hope. We discover something radically different than what the world has to offer. And we do that in different ways. We abide in him. We've been talking about three different patterns, three different spaces in our everyday lives that we have the opportunity to abide with him in intimacy with God. In times that we are praying and reading scripture and different spiritual disciplines, we can abide with him in intimacy. Then you have biblical community, that as we do life together as a biblical community, we abide in Jesus together. We spur one another on, we disciple one another, we encourage one another. And then we go out into the everyday spaces of our lives, and we go living on mission. We go with intentionality to abide in Jesus in every moment of our lives. Now, when we talk about abiding in intimacy with God, again, like I mentioned, this usually involves what are called spiritual disciplines or guiding rhythms or rhythms of intimacy. There's a lot of different names for them, but all kind of mean the same thing, which is that they are intentional practices that we are putting into our daily time for us to draw near to Jesus in the silence and the solitude of everyday realities. Now, those can be things like fasting, like we've been talking about with Lent, with this Lent season that we currently find ourselves in. It can be with prayer. It can be with Bible intake, different Bible study methods, Bible memorization techniques, any of these ways that we allow the truth of God to impact our hearts. And tonight, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Tonight, we are going to be entering into, instead of going through a normal message that we might normally have up here, we are going to be together going through an experience of a specific Bible intake technique known as Lectio Divina. And my hope is as we enter into the space of Lectio Divina tonight, whether you are new here, whether it's your first time, or you've been here for a while, that for all of us, we would discover God more clearly, more beautifully, more powerfully through his word. Now, Lectio Divina, that is a Latin phrase. It literally means sacred word. And that's what we're hoping for tonight, a sacred word from God. Now, what Lectio Divina looks like is, the way I've kind of summed it up, it is hearing the voice of God through the word of God. You get that? It's hearing the voice of God through the word of God. Its origins date all the way back to 265 AD, so very early on in the church. The early church fathers and mothers started to use this practice as a way to not bypass the heart. Because you see, what Lectio Divina is all about is us hearing. But you see, we have a listening problem. Because in the busyness of the clutter of our everyday lives, my brain, I don't know about your brain, but I can't shut my brain off today. I paced around my house for about 45 minutes. That's a lie. It was like 2 hours because I ran out of chores to do and I didn't know what else to do except for binge watch things on Netflix. So it like didn't work out very well for me because I cannot sit still in the quiet very easily. You see, this is not just a new modern problem. Ours takes a new take on that with things like social media and the destruction of our attention spans and all the rest of that craziness. But this is something that is just in the heart of humanity. That we struggle to listen. We struggle to get out of the busyness and the chaos of our lives. So we want everything in our life to get to the point. But you see, with Jesus, the frustrating thing about Jesus is Jesus doesn't get to the point as quickly as we'd like him to. In fact, Jesus is the point. He is both the means and the point. He is the path that we get to Jesus because it's in him that we find all things good. So as we journey into really any spiritual rhythm, they are all focused on us being drawn into his presence, but it's going to take time. It's going to take intentionality. The things that oftentimes we wish that there was a shortcut version to. So tonight, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be shifting the paradigm of the way that we think about our interactions with Scripture. See, there are so many great Bible study techniques, different memorization techniques, different ways for us to engage with Scripture, devotionals, different types of ways for us to essentially understand a greater detail into the origins of the text that we're reading, that we would kind of unearth new things about the text so that we would be able to rightly apply it to our lives, that we'd understand its context, the original readers, all that kind of stuff. But if you're anything like me, oftentimes what I can do is I will spend time reading Scripture, maybe studying with a commentary or whatever else. And as I'm reading, I am learning truth. And sometimes I leave it there. I don't even do anything with it. I just learn things. Or sometimes I'll take it to my hands, meaning I take it and I go, okay, I learned things like don't hate people or don't kill people. Okay, don't kill people. I will kill nobody today. All right, so then I go out in my everyday life and I kill no one. Super good. Super, yeah, thank you. So, but what we so quickly do, what I so quickly do is I bypass my heart. I bypass my heart. I go straight from my head to my hands to my everyday life. But I forget that God, first and foremost deals with my heart. He wants to transform the posture of my heart to be an utter dependence on Jesus in every space of my life. And that is something a little bit different than what we're used to. And that's where this practice, Lectio Divina, comes in handy. And tonight what we're going to be doing is we're going to be pressing pause on the noise and the busyness of our obsession with hurry to simply draw near to Jesus together, both in intimacy and in community. So the hope is that this would be a new practice for some of you. Or if you've done Lectio Divina before, it would just be another awesome time for you to engage with the Word of God, that you would hear the voice of God through the Word of God. And in a few moments, I'm going to invite a few friends up on the stage, and they are going to help us to run through this so that as you are running through the different steps of Lectio Divina from wherever you're seated, they are going to process it. And as God is revealing things to them, they're going to share what their experience is so that we can be learning from one another as well. Now, so what is Lectio Divina? Well, Lectio Divina is a Bible intake practice that has four steps to it and centers around a specific passage at a time. So tonight we are going to be looking at one passage and we're going to be reading it four times. Within each step, there's a different type of intentionality that we're going to be taking to the way that we are seeking God's voice through the Word of God. And as we are doing this, a great encouragement for you would be be very intentional. Consider putting your phone on do not disturb so that a text message doesn't interrupt you. So that instead, the idea is we're not even going to have the passage on the screen. Instead, what we're going to do is I'm going to simply read over the passages. As I do, you can close your eyes with that and try to brush away all the distractions of life and sit with God. And let's see what divine word he has for us tonight, for you tonight. So as I read through the passage, at the end of each step, I will pause and we will take a minute or two to just sit in silence. And it might be a little bit weird. And if you're new here, this is different than what we normally do. We've actually never done this before. So we're all in this together. It's going to be a blast. So we're going to sit in silence. And also, if you happen to have a journal, this would be a great practice to have a journal out that as God kind of reveals things to you, that you could just write that down. So feel free to do that as well. Now, what are the four steps of Lectio Divina? The first is read. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to literally read the passage for the first time. And when I do that, what I want you to simply do is to be listening and asking God for a specific key word or phrase that he might reveal to you from the passage. And as he does, what I want you to do is not try to figure it out. Don't try to figure out why. What does this keyword mean for my life? Don't do that just yet. We're going to be able to kind of move through this and see what God reveals to us as we go through the steps of Lectio Divina. So simply just focus on that word or phrase. So for example, let's say that we're going through John 3:16. We're not. We're going through a different passage tonight. But let's imagine we're going through John 3:16. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So imagine I'm up here and then what God is revealing to me is just to focus in on that word loved. Loved. So I don't start thinking, man, what does that mean for me right this second? Don't. Just loved and just focus in on that one word. So my key word in this passage tonight is loved. Okay, so that is read. The second is reflect. With reflect, this is where we meditate on the passage. Now, we've talked about this before, but meditation in scripture is a little bit different than the way that the world understands meditation. It's not emptying of self, it is a focusing of self onto a specific truth that we see within scripture. So we have that sacred word that has been revealed to us, and now we're gonna begin to reflect on that in light of the passage. And specifically what we're gonna be doing is asking God to access our creativity and our imagination tonight. And what we're hoping for is we're gonna just ask God if he would give you a word picture, a thought, something that simply is a metaphor of whatever that sacred word that he has been revealing to you is. This is a little bit different than seeking a vision from God, some type of prophetic utterance. It's different than that, where that needs to be submitted to scripture in a very specific way to make sure that it lines up with the word of God. With this, what we're doing is not so much trying to dissect everything. And if for example, I went loved, okay. And then I had this word picture of a dad putting his coat on it, taking off his coat and putting it on his child in the middle of a snowstorm. I don't have to think about what does that coat symbolize or try to go really too much deeper, except God's sacrificial love. That is what he does. And then think, okay, that's awesome. So then your phrase might be something like, I heard blank or I saw blank. So that's reflect. And then we respond. Now we turn our attention to the question, God, how should I respond to what you have spoken into my heart tonight? You see, the only right response to us spending time with the word of God is worship. And what I mean by worship is not just singing a song or listening to some music. What I mean is everything about our lives, according to scripture, should be an act of worship. So what is my right response? That is the question. Now, there are three different types of responses that would make total sense. A head response, a heart response, or a hand response. A head response is, God, what is the truth that I need to believe from this passage? A heart response would be, God, how should I be called to express gratitude and thankfulness to what you are revealing in this passage? What is my right expression of worship from my heart? Or maybe it's something you're being called to do. What is God, how do I worship you with the way that I love and serve others? So that's the question. So you're asking God, what should my response be? So with that one, it would be something like my response is blank. And then the last step is rest. Rest. This isn't about religious obedience. It's not about doing more for God. It's about what he's done for you. It's about resting in the truth of the gospel and the way that it is present in the passage that we're reading. So as we do this one, as I read the fourth time and we pause, I want you to simply listen to the passage, not trying to figure anything out, not trying to mull it over, but allow it to crash over you like a nice, calm, warm wave. Just allow it to come right over you, the truth, and just let it sit on top of you. Don't try to go much deeper than that. Just simply rest in God's goodness. So tonight, that's what we're going to be doing. And we're going to be interacting with a passage from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Micah 6 through 8 is where we're going. But again, feel free to simply close your eyes as I'm going through the passage and just listen and engage that way. Now, it is important that whenever we are engaging with scripture, that we are not just going, God, I'm going to trust you, open up the Bible to some random page, put your finger down and go, aha, here's where I'm going to start today. And because what can happen so easily is we read things out of context and we read our desires into the text. In other words, we don't understand the passage because we don't understand the context. So we begin to read what we want to read into it instead. So it is important that we understand a little bit about its origins or what's happening in the larger story that's being told in the passage that we're reading. So the little bit that is worth noting for this specific passage as we're going into it is Micah is a prophet in the Old Testament. Micah is basically a person who hears the voice of God and then goes to the people of God, the nation of Israel, and reveals that word to them. The people of Israel in this specific time, they are rebelling against God, but God's faithfulness continues to pursue them. Amen. And he pursues after them time and time again. And now it's like they're sitting in a courtroom and they're like, what should I do now? Are we just judged? What should my response be? And what we're going to see in this passage that fits in very well for Lexi Divina is God is speaking over what his desire for a right response from us would be. So I want to go ahead and invite our three wonderful volunteers, Brooke, Molly, and Mike, to come on up. Go ahead and bring your stools over, and I'm going to move mine as well. And they have been awesome enough to step in and helping us out by sharing what God is revealing to them in the passage. But here's the thing: as they are engaging in the passage, what I don't want you to feel is distracted. So what I would love for you to do is to not try to compare, figuring out, man, their answer was so spiritual or mine was so much more spiritual or whatever. It's not about that. It's about asking God, what is your word for me? And as we do that, I believe God's going to do something pretty cool as we get to encourage one another in these words. And by the way, they're going to respond. I will not be calling on anyone out there to respond. Okay. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for coming up here. Awesome. Cool. All right. So if you would go ahead and close your eyes with me. I will not be closing my eyes because I'm reading. Sorry. That was weird. So here's what Israel says. What should I bring into the presence of the Eternal One to pay homage to the God Most High? Should I come into his presence with burnt offerings, with year-old calves to sacrifice? Would the Eternal be pleased by thousands of sacrificial rams, by 10,000 swollen rivers of sweet olive oil? Should I offer my oldest son for my wrongdoing, the child of my body to cover the sins of my life? No, he has told you mortals what is good in his sight. What else does the Eternal ask of you? But to live justly, to love kindness, to walk with your true God in all humility. Okay, so that was read. So it's asking God, what is that key word or that phrase that you have for me? What is that sacred word? So all they're going to do now is just give their word, not try to explain it or anything like that. So if you guys want to go ahead and share your words.
Yeah, mine is, what should I bring in the presence of the Holy One?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the last word, humility. Mm. My wife isn't here, so... There's a little bit of hypocrisy there, I think.
Mine was also, what should I bring?
It's good. It's good. If you have a journal, feel free to go ahead and write that down. And we're going to go next into reflection. So again, as we are reflecting, all you're going to be doing is praying and asking God, what is a word picture, what is a thought that helps me to internalize this passage into my heart. So if you want to go ahead and close your eyes again. Here's what Israel says. What should I bring into the presence of the Eternal One to pay homage to the God Most High? Should I come into his presence with burnt offerings, with your old calves to sacrifice? Would the Eternal be pleased by thousands of sacrificial rams, by 10,000 swollen rivers of sweet olive oil? Should I offer my oldest son for my wrongdoing, the child of my body to cover the sins of my life? No. He has told you, mortals, what is good in his sight. What else does the Eternal ask of you but to live justly, to love kindness, and to walk with your true God in all humility? Let's go ahead. I'm actually going to mute my mic because that's kind of distracting, right? And then Molly, we'll share, okay?
So love it.
I'm going to go ahead and just ask the question. You guys can hear me for the second, and then that way you can talk. Okay. So what was that word picture that God might have given you?
I see this figure, which is Jesus and me, and we're in this, like, dark room, but in the corner, there's, like, this 1990s, like, big stereo type thing, and, like, he's all dressed up, and I'm dressed up, and we're gonna dance, but every 5 seconds, I, like, go over to change the song, because it's just not good enough, so I go over and change the song, and then I go back to him, and I say, wait, no, it's not good, so I go back, and it's, like, this repetition that I just keep seeing myself, and I'm just getting worn out, just trying to please him, and to make sure that this is the best song, because I get to, you know, dance with Jesus, and he kind of just goes over, and he just shuts it off, and he just takes my hands, and we just start to dance.
There's a lot of people I don't know, so I'm going to go with a C.S. Lewis scene so that you know I like C.S. Lewis. It's important. It's in whatever the first one Prince Caspian is in. I guess it's just Prince Caspian. And the dwarf Trumpkin, it's early in the book, and he's arguing with Caspian about Susan's horn has been blown, and so they're hoping that help is going to come from Cair Paravel, which is really far away, and Trumpkin doesn't believe in old fairy tales, and so he's arguing, he's like, we shouldn't send a person there to go bring those people here, because that's going to be useless, and after a little bit of arguing, he says, well, I know the difference between advice and orders, and you've had my advice, so now it's time for me to follow your orders, and then he just does the request, and you know, then the rest of the book happens.
I was walking into a throne room, and I was holding a really beautiful silver tray, but there was nothing on it, and I couldn't find anything to put on it. And I just, in that moment, experienced the humility of that.
Okay. So now we are going to move into the next step, the next rhythm, which is to respond. So this is just asking God, what is my response? What should my response be? So as I read over this the third time, go ahead and close your eyes. And let's hear the voice of God through his word. Israel says, what should I bring into the presence of the Eternal One to pay homage to the God Most High? Should I come into his presence with burnt offerings, with year-old calves to sacrifice? Would the Eternal be pleased by 10,000s of sacrificial rams, by 10,000 swollen rivers of sweet olive oil? Should I offer my oldest son for my wrongdoing, the child of my body, to cover the sins of my life? No. He has told you, mortals, what is good in his sight? What else does the eternal ask of you but to live justly, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your true God in all humility? So let's keep going. So as you guys were praying over that, what did you believe God was telling you to be your response of worship?
My response would be to just rest in his presence. We can get so, you know, just distracted by this world. And even just with following the Lord, sometimes, especially for me, I just have that aim to please. And he's saying, no, no, Molly, you don't have to please me. Like, I've died for you. You know, I love you. And all I have to do is just glorify him and praise him. So just to rest and to abide in his word and who he is.
I feel the hand response of how am I using my time? How am I using my decisions? How I schedule myself? What I choose to do, what I choose not to do? And laying aside whatever I think would be good for me or, you know, a goal I have or an expectation I have. And, you know, do I live my day every day so that other people's welfare is supported?
I felt like he was inviting me into trusting him more in different ways.
So now we are going to go into the final rhythm of Lectio, which is rest. So as we go into rest, after I read this passage, what I want you to do is just to focus in on God's faithfulness and goodness in this passage. That you would hear God's voice in this, and that it would be one of comfort, one that would remind you of his faithfulness regardless of ours. One that would point you to Jesus. And as we do that, after I finish reading, we're going to spend an extended time, a little bit longer of time in silence. So just meditate on this passage and allow the truth of God to form you. So I'm just letting you know that because after a minute or so, when we're still sitting in silence, it's not weird, it's intentional. Okay. Go ahead and close your eyes. Israel says, what should I bring into the presence of the Eternal One to pay homage to the God Most High? Should I come into his presence with burnt offerings, with year old calves to sacrifice? Would the Eternal be pleased by thousands of sacrificial rams, by 10,000 swollen rivers of sweet olive oil? Should I offer my oldest son for my wrongdoing, the child of my body to cover the sins of my life? No. He has told you, mortals, what is good in his sight. What else does the Eternal ask of you but to live justly, to love kindness, and to walk with your true God in all humility? I don't know if that felt like 5 seconds to you or like an eternity. But I want you to know, whatever that experience was like for you, whether it was, wow, that was really weird, I wasn't expecting that in church today, or that was something that was deeply meaningful and moving. Pray that that God would be revealing to you more of himself. And this is a practice that you can do with others like this, or is something you can do in the mornings when you wake up and you're by yourself and you open up scriptures and you do this over a passage. There are a lot of great resources about Lectio Divina, but there are also some resources that are not going to lead you closer to Jesus. They're take it in more of a mystical approach where it's that's the furthest I'll go with explaining that. So I just encourage you to just use discernment as you are looking for any resources. Just be intentional as you're looking for resources and make sure that the resources that are pointing you to Jesus, not pointing you to just to yourself. Because there are a ton of resources in the world that point you just closer to yourself. But we're looking for ones that point us nearer to Jesus, that we draw near and abide in him. Yeah, hope that this was an encouraging time. I would encourage you to, even if you have friends here, talk with them after about what this experience was like. I'd love to hear about what your experience was like. If you came here by yourself and this is your first time, you are in a room full of new friends who would love to hear what God is revealing to you as well. So feel free to stick around after to do exactly that. But I want to say thank you to you guys for being brave enough to come up here. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys. Awesome. So I'm going to invite the band to come on back up. And they're going to lead us in a musical response to worship. Would you guys pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word, that we know that it is living and active, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it does not return void, that it is alive, that it is real, that it is meaningful, that it is filled with hope, that it points us ultimately back to Jesus. So God, I thank you that you desire to reveal yourself to us. You desire for us to know you more, that you give us techniques for us to be able to engage with you in relationship. God, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I pray for all those who are here tonight who they were walking in and this might have been a very odd experience for them. I pray that in the midst of the oddness or the awkwardness that you would have been giving them a divine word. I pray for those who are here tonight who have not lived in surrender to you. They haven't surrendered their lives to who you are. Lord, I pray that tonight that your spirit would draw us near to you. And for those who have never been drawn near, that your spirit would be working and active tonight, bringing those of us who are spiritually dead to life. God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to come together as biblical community, Lord, that we are not alone in this world, that we are not in isolation, and that even though we aren't going to get it perfect all the time, even though we are going to frustrate or disappoint one another from time to time, that we know that you are faithful, even though we are so often faithless. Lord, I thank you for the divine word that you gave to us tonight, your word, spoken thousands of years ago, thousands of years, hundreds of years before even Jesus came to make these words come into fruition, that we could walk humbly with our God. What good news. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. We need you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.